Ask right now that you would be preparing our minds, our hearts, our attitudes, Lord, for your word. We pray that your word would not just be something we hear, Lord, but it would be something that does a work inside of us, that there is a need, a desire, a passion, a pleasure in honoring that word and how we live. Lord, we just ask that you would bless this time now, Lord. Thank you for this wonderful family, Lord. We just ask that you would bring us together in unity, in one purpose, Lord, to hear from your word, that we may be changed from the inside out and live a life that brings honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, I'm excited to continue on our series here in the book of James, Be Doers of God's Word. And the reason I titled the series by this title is because of this scripture that we're going through here, which is such a theme of the book of James. And as we get ready for the scripture, I just want to kind of remind us of where we left off last week, which was at the end of James 1:18. It says, Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. I love that. Of his own will, he brought us forth. Salvation is God's work. And he brings that truth to us through the word of God. And guys, we can know his word. And when his word, I love in Isaiah, I was sharing, I forget with who, I was sharing with us a group earlier this week, or somebody, that in Isaiah it talks about eating God's word, that you eat it, that you digest it, and that it becomes a part of you. And that's what we're called to do with the word of God, is to spend time in it. And because of the truth of the word of God, we come to a place of being humbled. You guys, for some of you, do you remember that place where you were at? What was happening in your life when God brought you to a place of saying, man, I'm going to stop trying to do things my way. I'm going to stop trying to be my own savior. Because I don't know about you guys, but I know for me, when I came to that place, I had made a mess of it. When I was savior of my life, things had gone from bad to worse. And I had no way out. I had no way to figure things out. I had no way to have peace. I had no way to have joy. And here, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. But this assumes that the word has been implanted. It assumes that God has already done that work. And so as we go forward, it's with this assumption And that the word has been implanted in us, and it's taking root. And we were once dead. We had no place for God in our lives. But by his work and bringing his truth through the word of God, he brought us to a place where we went from not desiring the word to craving it. Have you ever been really hungry? Or really thirsty? This weekend, or yesterday on Saturday, Julie and I were doing some work outside our front yard. Did anybody notice it'd been, when we got that those few days of rain, all of a sudden combined with the sun, everything just exploded in the yard. And our yard went from looking like a yard to just awful. Just in a matter of like a week or week and a half. And so we were out there and I was cleaning everything up, and Julie was cleaning out the car. We were doing all this work, and I just got so exhausted, and I'd gotten stuff in my lungs that I didn't want to have in there. And I had to clear things out, and I needed water. I don't think I would do well on Survivor, because when you get to that place of I need water, you know, you might get a little grumpy, I think. I don't know. But But I needed it. That hunger, that thirst, that desire for what the only thing that's going to bring blessing. And that's the word of God. That's the truth of the word of God. As God speaks to us through his word about who he is and what he's done and what he's asking us to do. And with that, Jesus said of the leaders who were trying to kill him, because there were a lot of religious leaders. They knew what the word of God was. And so when I talk about the word and chewing on it, it doesn't mean just knowing about God's truth. A lot of people know about God and about his truth. But if it's just knowledge of rather than knowledge in, and knowledge about God rather than God in us, transforming us and changing us by justification once and for all at the beginning, and then sanctification continuing to change us and mold us and allow the word of God to change us from the inside out. These religious leaders, as it talks about in John 8:37, it says, "You seek to kill me because my words find no place in you." He was saying this to the pastors of the day. He was saying this to the religious leaders of the day. Imagine if you'd given your life to study the scriptures, the Old Testament, that you were studying. And here comes this Jesus, and he says what? He says, "You seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you." Man. Guys, if we just know about God, what's that worth? Eternally speaking, what's that worth? It costs me nothing. If it costs me nothing, it's of little value. Now, granted, it might help keep a little bit of law and order, a little bit of morality might come out, and a little touches here and there. But if I'm not changed from the inside out by who God is, and who I am in him, man, I don't want to have a life like the Pharisees that were knowledge, had a knowledge of God, but hadn't been changed on the inside by his love and truth. Let's start in it. James 1, starting in verse 19. This is where we're coming to as we start today. "Know this, my beloved brothers." I love that. "Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For anger shows that you're right and the other person is wrong." Oh, did I read that wrong? Sorry. That's right. That's Matthew 50:50. Sorry. "For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." I love how he starts, "Know this, my beloved brothers. Hey, you know what? I care about you. And I want you to know something because you're beloved. You're important to me. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." Now, this sounds great on Sunday morning, doesn't it? Isn't this wonderful in a nice, safe, sterile environment? Right? But what if you're listening to the pastor and something happened last week or the week before, and so you've got something on your heart, and here's this guy up there. Is he really living out what he's saying? Perfectly? No, not at all. Or what about if it's in a marriage situation where the person hasn't done what you thought that they were going to do? They didn't respond, or they didn't start a situation off in a way that you thought was the best way. Or what if they were just downright rude or disrespectful? Or what about with a friend or a coworker where something has been said and it's not true? But now you're looking around and wondering, well, who thinks that this is true? And then the enemy starts playing with your head and, well, who's on my side? Who's with me? Who's against me? And know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to what? Hear. Quick to hear. I think it's interesting that God gave us two ears and one mouth. Well, first of all, we could agree with ourselves all the time if we had two mouths. And the Lord said this, he's right, you know. He's a genius. Why, thank you. Absolutely. We would always have somebody to agree with us. Us! We have one mouth, two ears. We get to listen in stereo. We get to hear. Let's be quick. I love that. Let every person be quick to hear. In other words, not just listen, but hear. Because sometimes people say something, but if you are hearing rather than just listening to the words, you might hear what's really going on. What about if we start praying and saying, God, I'm hearing words, but let me hear with your ears. I want to hear with your wisdom. Give me insight in how to love on this person who's coming at me. It's hard to do if they've just said something rude or mean-spirited or critical. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak. Guys, stop, breathe, pray. Stop, breathe, pray. Stop, breathe, pray. I would be even fine with stop, pray, breathe. But, you know. But boy, I tell you, so often we hear a piece of what's been said. And we are drawing and guns are going and we're, oh, you meant what? Oh, sorry, I just shot you down. I thought you were meaning this. Yeah. Guys, as children of God, wouldn't it be great if people outside the church saw people inside the church living more like Jesus and less like Christians? Because the number one thing I hear, and guys, we're all hypocrites. We are. We're all hypocrites. I believe in the Word of God. I don't always do what it says. And I need to repent over and over and over again. Guys, don't follow the leaders because they're more spiritual, you think. Follow Jesus. And God has set up through his word, the church, the family of God, the local family, for us to come and worship in an orderly way together that just is in awe of God, amazed by his power, by his love. And then we change from the inside out so that now how we talk to each other is different because we're being obedient to the word of God. We're hearing from God. We're speaking less, listening and hearing. Verse 20, for the fear of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Guys, there is a righteous anger. We know Jesus had it, right? Okay, Jesus ever get mad? When Jesus sees the people who are in the temple, in the Lord's house, and they're there to make money. Guys, we need to take this. We are not about the prosperity gospel. God does not want you to be rich, so give the church so be rich. That's a lie from the pit of hell. That's so people can make money and use ministry. Now, there's a piece of that. Guys, we get to have our hearts change and value things differently. And now money doesn't have to control us. Now we can use what God has blessed us with to bless others through the church and through many other things. The church isn't enough. You have to just, and money's not enough. Time, effort, love, being committed to serving others, finding the gifts that God's given you, and blessing others with those gifts. Man looks at the outside and says, hey, just give a little cash and you're all good. It's a lie. It's a lie. Has nothing to do with the gospel when it's just about giving money so that others can become rich. Verse 21, therefore, one more thing I wanted to say about that. Anger, the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. When Jesus was flipping up the tables and chasing out the guys who were there trying to use God's house for money, Jesus was fully man, but he was also fully God. And his righteous anger produces a blessing. If I'm angered, guess what usually happens? I react. If I am quick to speak when I'm angered, I'm not speaking the word of God of reconciliation, of forgiveness, of truth, of love, of the truth in love. I'm speaking, Matthew wants his way here. And I'm going to get it. And if I have to crush you to get it, so be it. That's what happens when we speak in anger. Man's anger. Guys, we need to be careful. It's rare that we can have a righteous anger. I think the only times I've ever had a righteous anger is when I hear things like what Zach is going to be talking about on Monday. And you hear about what's happening. And as soon as I think about the people who take advantage of other people and human trafficking, my anger is not a righteous anger towards the bad people, but my anger about the wrong being done is a righteous anger. But it's difficult to have a righteous anger. Therefore, verse 21, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. The implanted word of God. God implanted. God is planting by seed the word of God into us. And when we get the word of God in, guess what? It produces a fruit and a bounty of blessing. But what's going to take away from that? The junk, the filth. There's a lot of junk, guys. Everywhere we turn, we're being bombarded. We can't look at billboards or the newspaper or TV or hear music without being bombarded with the junk. And it so takes seed and implants itself in us that when I'm bringing junk in, I'm spitting junk out. We need to be careful there. And it says, put away all filth. We gotta be quick to put the junk. And here's the thing I've found is if I try and do things in my own strength and clean up, if you're struggling with sin, don't try harder. You'll fail. I promise you. If you try harder, you'll go maybe even have a week where it's better. But then you'll crash and burn. You might get 2 weeks even. But then you'll crash and burn. Allow Christ to do a work through his word on the inside. Allow the truth of his word as you're chewing it, as you're digesting it, as you're contemplating it and thinking about the power and pleasure that that word provides. And then we start living it out. We start giving it away. We start being the word rather than just hearing the word. That's where we're going to go next. Verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. I love that. Guys, be doers of the word. Don't just listen and be deceived. If we just hear God's word and they're nice little truths that we think, oh, isn't that special? Isn't that wonderful? We're going to be deceived that something is changed. You know, the Pharisees that we heard about in the scripture earlier, they knew the word of God, but they hadn't digested and chewed it. And because of that, there was the life change that hadn't happened. We need to be doers of the word of God. And it means, guys, it means we need to not react by the gut. When somebody hurts you, and they will, I promise you, when somebody is rude to you or disrespectful to you, who here likes being disrespected? Anyone? Who here has disrespected anyone in the last year? Raise your hand. Okay, I did not see every hand go up. Oh my goodness. Those hands. It's like, well, what's the guy from Welcome Back, Carter?
Horseshack.
Oh. Man, we have disrespected, man. Absolutely. We own it. We know our own hearts. We got to be quick to say, that's me. Oh, God, that's me. I need you. I need your transforming work in my life. Did I just age myself by talking about Welcome Back, Cotter? All right. That's all right. It is in reruns. You know, all those old shows, you watch those and you have a smile on your face. Anyway, be doers of the word, not hearers only, and so deceiving yourselves. Guys, there was a pastor who, this is a true story. He had gotten hired by a church. And as he got hired, he came and he was a young guy. And he came and he gave the message. And even though he was young, he gave it with great teaching and passion, and people were, you know, this is the first time they heard him. They're like, man, this guy's our pastor. This is fantastic. And the buzz went around, and they invited some more friends. And the next Sunday, the pastor got up there, and he gave this message, and it was powerful and wonderful. But it was the exact same message that he'd given the week before. And, you know, for all the visitors who had come, they were like, that was great. The others were like, yeah, it was good, but sounded awfully familiar. And you know, a couple of different things, but the same scripture, the same message. And you know, the people who had a lot of grace, they were like, well, you know what? We sing the same songs month after month. Why not? So those who were full of grace had that kind of attitude. And others were like, does he know what he just did? Is he already tired? It's week two. What's going on? And then week three came, and he gave an unbelievably powerful message from the exact same scripture with the same points. And everybody was buzzing afterwards. And afterwards, there was so much complaining, they called a special council together. And they said, we need to bring in the pastor. He needs to explain himself. How dare he do this to us? And they brought him in. And they said, do you realize what you've been doing? He goes, yeah. They said, are you ever going to preach a different message? He goes, yeah. Well, when are you going to do it? And he says, when you start doing what the first message was on, I'll go to the second message. I loved reading that. I was just like, no way. This guy's my hero. Ah. Think of the message that was heard and learned. It took a couple weeks. Guys, what happens if we start becoming doers of the word of God? My goodness. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Guys, I titled the message Christianity, Audit or Credit. And for those of you who've ever taught children or if there's any professors here who've taught adults, you know, for, or if you've gone to university, you can, at the university, you can take, you can go and you can pay, and you're taking, if you pay money, you're taking the class for credit, which means you have to do all the homework. You have to be in class. You have to be hearing and listening and responding and participating. Professors love people who take the course for credit because they're involved. They actually are there. For those who audit the class, you can come if you want. You can do the homework if you want. You can do well on the test if you want. But it doesn't matter. And so often, in the most important area of our lives, in our faith, the most important, more important than work, more important than family. Did he really say that? Yes. Because my faith affects my work. It affects my family. It blesses all those things. All those other things are blessed by the most important thing, my faith in Jesus Christ. See, if you audit, it doesn't cost. If you take it for credit, there's a large cost. Boy, especially nowadays, isn't it? I have four kids. As I think about colleges coming up, man, that's stressful. There's a cost there, and it's great. Guys, we don't want to be auditing Christianity. We want to be involved. We want to be connected. We want to do our homework. We want to do well on the tests. And the thing about what makes it different from school to our faith and our life, when we live out the Word of God, not only are we blessed, but everyone around us is blessed. Guys, know this. Your sin doesn't hurt just you. My sin affects me. It affects my wife. It affects my children. It affects my church. It affects my friends. It affects my extended family. What we do, it matters. And it doesn't just matter to God in a spiritual sense. It matters in a spiritual way and in a real rubber meets the road reality of life way. If a man chooses to do his own thing apart from his family and do what he wants when he wants, his family will suffer. If a spouse decides to have, maybe not even an affair, but to start having relationship and being intimate with somebody else outside of marriage, it has its effects. So we need to be aware of the challenges around us and live in a way that brings life to the people around us. My sin hurts others. Why are there so many people who don't want to go anywhere near a church? They're broken. They've been wounded. And so often in the church, you know, one of the things I love about this church is this church, you can come and be loved on no matter where you're at in your life. That's biblical, guys. That's living out the Word of God. You don't have to have it together to be here and belong. If your life is a mess, guess what? Welcome to the party. You belong with us. If you've made choices that are beyond bad, guess what? You belong here. Because Jesus meets us. Guys, you don't have to figure it out and then come to Jesus, because you'll never get to Jesus. You can't figure it out without him. You can't get there. Most of the people in this room have tried that. No, all of us have tried that. Excuse me. We might not have realized it at the moment. Then we'll end with the next couple verses. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. Have you ever tried to think of think about it right now. What do you look like? You know what I think of when I try and figure out what I look like? I think of a picture I've seen of me. And that's what I remember. I mean, what if you look in a mirror and you don't just see the outward natural? But what if, have you ever been in that place in your life where you look in the mirror and there's disgust? Because you're seeing more than just the natural. Where you just look at yourself and you're just like, oh, ouch. As I want to encourage us, what if we look in the mirror and rather than seeing our sin, we see the love and the power and the work of Jesus Christ? What if rather than seeing the junk of my life and the consequences of my decisions, what if by faith through grace, I see the blessings of God meeting me in my junk? Transforming my sin, redeeming my sin. And now I see the work of God, and now I'm not afraid to look in the mirror. Why do you go away and forget what you look like? You know why? Because it's hard to look at what you don't want to see. When there's that head goes, ah! When we come to the Word of God, and we look at the Word of God, don't get lost in your sin and, ah! Come to the Word of God and be revealed. See the real reflection of the soul. Be humbled before God and get on your knees and cry out to God. He will meet you where you are at. You don't have to clean up to be in God's presence. You can't. Come. Allow the Word of God to change us. And you know what happens when we start doing the Word? Guess what happens if somebody is now disrespectful to me and I go, yep. Remember, stop. Breathe. Pray. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Well, what's going to happen in our lives, in our world, if we start doing this one message from the truth of the Word of God? And somebody has just come at us. Brother, I hear what you're saying, but what's really going on? Why are you coming at me like this? Did I offend you? Because if I did, brother, I'm sorry. But let's not live this junk out, okay? What's going on? Is there anything I can do? What's happened to that conversation? What's happened? Now what the enemy desired to bring in, and watch this, I push this button and this guy will go, and then I don't even have to push his button because his anger will push the button himself. And so the enemy is just like, look at this. Boop. Just this plethora, this symphony of hatred. All I have to do, the enemy says, is this, and it's this beautiful to his ears. beautiful symphony of hatred. Guys, what about a symphony of blessing? What about somebody comes at us and they leave encouraged and loved? Somebody comes with words to destroy and they leave being loved on and cared for. That'd change our world, wouldn't it? Especially if it's not done in through my love, but if it's done through Christ in me. Because I got to be honest with you, when somebody disrespects me, you know what I want to do? What sometimes I do? Bring the heat. Because I'm living out of the flesh and not the truth of the words. Stop. Pray. Go back to the truth of the word. Guys, let's do that this week. Let's commit to that. This week, I want you guys one time where you're going to react, where you would react, stop and pray and love. And see if you want to try it again. Try it once this week. See what happens. And don't love on them with, you know, well, I love you in Jesus because you're a jerk. That's in your own strength. Because, you know, that's the heart of the Pharisee. I'm going to be so religious now because you're a jerk. And I'm holy. Guys, I've just made myself the jerk, the hypocrite, the one who just spits out, ugh. Let's give life by allowing Christ to love others in the heat of the moment. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for your word. Lord, we pray that we would be doers of the word of God this week in a new way. Lord, that means that we are praying for opportunities to love when being criticized. This is a very dangerous prayer, God. We realize that. So, Father, prepare our hearts. Prepare us, Lord. Humble us. Lord, we choose to humble ourselves before you. We need your help this week to bring blessing when we're being discouraged. Show us how. Lord, we pray that we would be slow to speak, that we would be quick to listen, that we wouldn't be so excited about getting angry and getting our way, Lord, or being proven right. Father, we want to give up being right to being so that we can be together. So that we can say the truth in love and bring blessing. Rather than my truth in anger and bringing a curse. Forgive us, Lord. Thank you that you do forgive us. We need it desperately. We grab onto it. We cherish that forgiveness, that love, that redemption. Lord, speak to us this day. May we be doers of the word of God more and more. And Lord, may it not be out of will, but out of our pleasure. Lord, may we not only be disciplined, may we be transformed from the inside out so that discipline comes from the heart, not from my will alone. Father, we want to give you away. Show us how to love. We need your help here, desperately. Show us how to live more like Jesus and less like a Pharisee. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys.